The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Whoa.
Where did that come from?
Whoa.
Who's gave us a new titles after all these years?
Have we found some much-needed budget and someone's done us a new ident to open up the podcast?
That sounded amazing.
Wow.
It's not even my voice either.
That's a surprise. It's not my voice as well. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
It's good. I like that.
I like that.
You know what that is? That's like hashtag new beginnings, that. That's like our new beginnings, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we must have had some budget thrown our way for a new jingle to kick off the start of the Final Hooter on Lovely Dog. I'm dazzled by that new jingle that we just played.
No, I think it's because you've done two games over the Easter period. No,
don't get me going on that, all right? Now, we are going to talk about it, by the way, because it's that time of the year where coaches and players moan about it.
Yeah, we've got a couple of interviews coming up where people mention
moaning about it. Two games. Anyway, yeah, I was dazzled by the new jingle. So, yeah, it is
Adrian Jackson. He's Adrian Jackson. I'm Dave Parkinson.
You're Dave Parkinson. We're talking Rugby League on the Final Hooter, the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. And thank you very much to Radio General, the sound for Warrington Hospital, for letting us use the studios.
Yeah. And even though we're dazzled by that new ident, that's amazing.
It totally threw me, that.
Right, okay. Let's crack on.
Let's get back to the business. The business I want to kick off with.
Go on.
We've just touched up on it, haven't we? Coaches moaning about it. And I know I've heard Steve Price say it. I heard Tim Sheen say it.
They're Aussies.
I've heard Kieran Pirtle say it.
He's not an Aussie. I don't know why.
I heard John Duffy mention it.
Yeah.
I heard one or two Warrington Hockey R players on about it yesterday. No doubt plenty of other coaches. I heard Lee Radford mentioning it as well. Two games over 3 days. It may be traditional, but has the game now become too physical and too fast to do that kind of a fixture?
Listen, it's once a year. It's once a year, surely. You know, when they're all having the time off at the end of the season, is it really having that much of an implication? Or is it because some teams have decided to go topside budget with the squads so they don't have as many players to pick from?
Maybe.
Is there some financial dynamic coming into this?
Yeah, and I heard a comment from Steve Price after the Hutchinson Rovers game in his general press conference, and he did say, in this day and age of player welfare, maybe it is time to reconsider it.
It's an interesting point, but it's a tradition. We've already booted every tradition into touch.
We've had it for 120 odd years, haven't we? Two games over Easter. And if you listen to the older players in the winter days, it was two games over Christmas as well. So they didn't do it once, they did it twice.
Listen, I've seen fixture lists as well, which have had teams playing on 23rd of December, 25th of December, 26th of December and 28th of December.
Right, okay. That's proper old school.
That is proper old school, yeah. I mean, they were playing about 50 games for the season as well.
Back to the modern day, the argument is, the game's too quick, it's a lot more physical, and can the players' bodies deal with it?
Well, I've got a suggestion here as well for you, because, you know, I know you're trying to move me on from the past.
Yeah.
But just hear me out on this one.
Go on.
Bring the 5 metre rule back.
That'd be an idea.
You wouldn't have players smashing into each other from great vast distances, would you? With the same sort of forces that go into play. Because, I mean, if you're running at each other from 10 metres away, that's one heck of a collision. You're halving it if it's half the distance, aren't you, surely?
Yeah, without doubt. Totally agree with that one. But the two games over 3 days, they've got an argument, haven't they? I can see. Yeah, I was thinking about this last night.
All right, okay.
Now that they've had the Super League breakaway from the NFL, I can see the Super League clubs, if enough coaches and players really push this and play the player welfare card, I can see Super League maybe dropping it.
So does that mean that they will do away with a round of games? Or will they still have to play them?
They'll still have to play it. You just won't play Good Friday and Easter Monday.
I've got a perfect suggestion here. I'm full of it tonight, as you can tell.
Right, go on.
Perfect suggestion. We drop the Magic Weekend. Because let's be honest, what does that do for Rugby League? What have the Romans ever done for us?
You sound like a dinosaur now.
I can't help that.
It's a good day out.
Is that your only thing? So yeah. I'm coming at it where, you know,
It's a good day out.
From a fan's point of view, this is the best weekend of the season, isn't it? The Easter period. You get two games, you've got time off work, you can go and have a drink, you can have a bit of a party if you want as well.
Yeah.
If you're a St. Helens fan, you're going to be on cloud nine at the moment, aren't you? I suppose you won't be saying exactly the same if you're a, you know, if you're a London Broncos fan or a Hull Kingston Rovers fan, but, you know, what's wrong? We've got rid of every other singles tradition that we've ever had in this sport.
Now, interestingly, the Championship dropped the two games over Easter period, but then they brought it back.
They did. And if you also look, League One also only played one round of fixtures, which took place on Good Friday.
Anyway, back to the fixtures.
And the amateurs don't actually play at all over Easter.
All right, okay. But the clubs won it because it brings in the bums on seats, doesn't it? I mean, we had a record attendance for Good Friday.
Yeah, nearly 80,000 people went through the turnstiles, didn't they?
It's good for business.
So it's going to stay because the bean counters like it.
But will they just stick with Good Friday and drop the Easter Monday? Interesting.
You see, I think that they could spread them out as well. And you could really have standalone games on standalone days as well, couldn't you? So you could really sell it.
Maybe. Right. Who had a good Easter then?
Right, okay. So the good Easter in Super League, St Helens and Catalans won both their games. In the Championship, Batley, Sheffield, Bradford, Toronto had great weekends. The bad Easters, well, Hull KR with the bad eggs, lost both of their fixtures quite heavily, it must be said. Hull Kingston Rovers losing to Hull and then losing to Warrington. London Broncos also lost both of their games. And in the Championship, Barrow lost both of their games. Dewsbury Rams lost both of their games. And Rochdale lost both of their games too. It would be fair to say, just to touch on League One, that these teams also had good weekends. So North Wales, London Scholars, Keighley Cougars, Hunslet and Whitehaven all got victories. And I must say, Whitehaven getting the bragging rights in the derby there, that's a fantastic result for them.
It is. North Wales also getting the bragging rights in the Welsh derby as well against West Wales. Of all those games played on Good Friday, the standout performance, it must have ruined everybody's betting slip. The big win for Salford against Warrington.
What an amazing showing that was from Salford. Wow, I mean, they got away.
What a result.
They got away to such an opening as well. I mean, they scored the first try after 9 minutes through Wellham. Then Lussick goes over after 12 minutes. Murray goes over after 26. And Lewis scores after 37 minutes. In response, Blake Austin comes up with one try as far as Warrington are concerned. So they're already, they've virtually got the points in the bag by half time. 26 points to 6 up. And they went and did even better in the second half.
Let's hear from Ian Watson as he reflects on what was a great day for Salford, not Warrington.
I thought the start of the game, we gave three penalties away in yardage straight away, but our resilience to defend goal line, I thought, kind of set us up really on the platform to win. Because then we came away from our own try line, obviously completed the set and built a little bit of pressure, and then we obviously scored on the back end of that. But I think it's down to the resilience shown on the goal line D at the start of the game, which kind of set that platform for us going forward. We've been good for quite a while. I know, obviously, when you're losing, it's not great, but we've improved on things as we've gone through, and we've got tidier at certain things as well. And early in the season, I've spoken about it before, that you're trying to build a foundation to be successful later on at the back end of the season. And we've slowly started to do that. And although people have been obviously disappointed, and we've been disappointed that we've been losing as well some of the close games because we felt we should have won them. And we feel we can compete, but it just goes to show that if we stick with our processes and believe in each other, then we can go a long way in this competition and we can do really well. And I think last week put a little bit more confidence into us with our attack because it wasn't as clinical the weeks before against like Hull. We should have probably opened Hull up a lot more. We just weren't clinical enough. This week I thought we were really clinical, and that was building on the back of the exercise that we had against Rochdale last week, really, in the Challenge Cup. So yeah, I think the boys did an outstanding job, mate. One thing I've always been keen on is our middles being able to have mobility about and being kind of a little bit more athletic rather than kind of some of the big guys you get to see. The game's changing over the last few years. It's changed, and we've always tried to have a little bit more of a mobile pack and an athletic pack. And we've got some big guys in there, don't get me wrong, but they're athletes as well. They can move around really well, so they can do decent minutes. Gil Dudson as well fitted the bill. You look at people like Lee Mossop, Adam Walker, people like them. They fit the bill of what we want as a forward pack. Obviously, the conditions today, with it being really, really warm, we knew it was going to be warm this weekend. We knew we had to hold the ball, and if you hold the ball and complete your sets in this weather, you obviously drain the tank of the opposition, and I think that's what we did really well today. I think we first half was probably up near 100%, and second half was completing really highly as well. And like I say, in these conditions, you have to do that. But to be fair, that's every week. If you complete your sets and you can put your processes in place, and then your D's good on the back end of it because you're not wasting as much energy having to do extra defensive efforts. We trained against Warrington in pre-season. I asked Steve Price for a training session in pre-season. I wanted to kind of... I'm a big believer in kind of the quality you play against and the quality you train against that lifts your standards of your level. So for me, coming training against another Super League club wasn't a worry that they'd see things that we do. It was about us being better and improving on things that we'd done in the past. And I wanted a bit of a benchmark to see what we could do. So we probably took more out of that session than we did, I would say, watching some of Warrington's games, to be fair, as well, because we did have a little look at a lot of different options in that training session. We know we can go to a certain level. We train a certain way, and we know we can go to a certain level, but we train a certain way so that we can compete and beat the best teams. And today it's just shown that our processes work, and we've probably got to believe in that a little bit more, because everyone kind of knocks us for what we've not got in kind of the size of the squad and the kind of probably the quality of player, if you like, in some positions. But to be fair, we're thankful for what we have got, and we know what group we've got. We've got a really resilient group, and we've got a great group of players who will commit to the cause for us as well, and that's all we can ask for them. To be fair, mate, I think they'll bounce back. I think they're a great team. They've been doing real well this season, but you can only beat what's kind of put in front of you on the day. And if they've underestimated us, that's up to them that to fix up. That's not a worry for us. We've got the 2 points, and that's all we're bothered about. Yeah, but I think the biggest credit has to go to our players in the way they completed and competed out there today with a far superior team is what we were being told before this game.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I'd have loved to have seen that training match.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any friendly banter.
Wasn't that a really interesting point that he makes about teams going training against each other?
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen evidence of it before. I know when Lee were in Super League, they had training sessions against Hull, of all teams.
All right, okay.
So they went across to Hull a couple of times, and they brought Hull to the Lee Sports Village a couple of times. But
right.
It's rare that it goes in that sort of direction. But I really, really enjoyed hearing what Ian Watson had to say there. I mean, he was obviously very, very happy with that performance. It's just a shame, really, that Salford couldn't back it up on the Easter Monday against Wigan.
Well, he was right about Warrington, wasn't he? He mentioned Warrington will bounce back. And they did against Rovers, Hawkinson Rovers in style.
What a way to bounce back as well. 54-6. Tremendous. So many points. And I believe Hawkinson Rovers created some chances themselves, but just couldn't finish them off, which was at their behest, really. They had a very similar sort of experience on Good Friday against near neighbours Hull. So it's been a wretched Easter period as far as they're concerned, but full credit must go to Warrington for picking it up again after two below-par performances.
An Easter from hell, is what Tim Sheens described it as.
Wow, really? I mean, those are heavy words,
Easter,
aren't they?
Eggs, sour eggs. Warrington was 6-0 down, so to get 9 unanswered tries, and then Stefan Ratcher was just kicking them over for fun. Nine conversions as well.
It's
good day in the office. But Hawkinson Rovers just couldn't play the Austin. They couldn't play against him. They didn't know how to defend against him. Didn't know what he was going to do. He absolutely tore him to bits in the second half.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's had good times at Hull this season, hasn't he?
He has,
over at the KC Stadium and over at that one at New Craven Park as well.
Quite surprising, we mentioned Ratchford in recent weeks. He's been getting a bit of criticism from the Warrington fans on the message boards.
I know he's had one or two, I was going to say, not below par performances fully, but he's found himself out of position a couple of times, hasn't he, where he was caught out. There was certainly one try that was conceded against St Helens where he should have attacked the ball and he never did. And maybe there's one or two areas of his game that he needs to sharpen up. But let's be honest, he's a fantastic player, Ratchford. He's one of those players in Super League that I get a kick out of watching. I really enjoy seeing him play. And we're going to hear from him, aren't we?
Yeah, we are right now. All in all, good day out in Hull on Easter Monday.
Yeah, it's a good performance from us. Obviously, we've been disappointed with the last couple of games. Way off our standards, personally and as a group. So, yeah, we knew it was going to be tough coming up here. It's always tough whenever you come up here. But yeah, to kind of back up the way we did from the performance we had Friday to where we performed today is a massive positive.
Yes, questions of you, but 54 answer points you brushed into one side.
Yeah, there are quality side. I think, you know, whenever you play OKR, you look at the way they attack and kind of the way Tim Sheen's teams play. It's, you know, they like to throw the ball around. The, you know, they have great shapes. They've got, you know, dangerous players all over the park. So we knew we was going to have to defend well. And I think that's probably the most pleasing aspect from, you know, the way we was, like I said, defensively Friday and the way we was defensively against Saints. I think that although it was nice to score all them points, I think the most pleasing thing was, you know, keeping a team like OKR to six.
A couple of tries along the touchline, so they didn't make it easy for you to get the conversions, but you made it look easy.
Yeah, I was quite happy with the kicking today. Obviously, we got a few difficult ones out there on the touchlines, but no, it's you know, it's a role I'm enjoying at the moment, and yeah, I feel like I'm in a good spot. We're getting a bit of work from the outside, you know, kicking coach, and there's a few of us doing a bit of goal kicking. So yeah, we're in a good spot with that at the moment.
Pleased to get back to winning ways as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, we knew it was going to be tough coming up here, and we've been disappointed with the way we performed, you know, the last two games. So yeah, to put it right today was you know, the main thing of coming up here. But like I said, the most pleasing aspect was to keep a team like OKR to six regardless of the points we scored. We wanted a good defensive performance today, and I think we certainly delivered that.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
That interview was on Monday, wasn't it, with Steph Ratchford?
It was, yes.
Yeah, he came moaning to me he was hungry, so I did say to him at the end, enjoy your victory tea.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Where did they go for a victory tea?
Whatever the food, Hawkinson. Although, to be honest, on the way home, I seen one or two of the Warrington players at the KFC.
Oh, really?
At Hartshead Moor Services.
Maybe it's because they know they've got a couple of days off, because usually after two games, it's all close together.
Yeah, so you can have some southern fried chicken. Yeah. There was also a coach full of Widnes fans at the service station as well. Coach had broken down.
Oh,
on the way
no.
back. So there was a bit of friendly banter between the players and the fans when they spotted the Warrington tops.
The thing is, though,
on the way back from Hull. But then when we came out, the coach had left.
Yeah.
So we thought, made up, they got the coach going. 4 miles down the road, they were stuck at the high point of the Pennines with the coach on the hard shoulder.
So not only do Widnes lose at York on Easter Monday, but then the coach breaks down, which carries the spectators.
Yeah,
not once but twice.
Yeah, not a good Ouch. Easter Monday. I'd like to know what time they got back.
Maybe people could send me a message on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if Big Ben Murdoch Masilla and Lama Tardy enjoyed the KFC.
Oh, and you've gone and outed them now.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe.
Well, I enjoyed mine.
Maybe nobody needed to know about that.
It was a nice Zinger burger.
Especially the fact that, you know, with Ben Murdoch-Masilla, he's been getting lots of criticism for his whip rate, hasn't he?
I'll rephrase that.
Ben, it?
Yeah. Cut off with the chicken. No, Ben wasn't actually eating anything.
Oh, fair enough.
He was on his phone.
Says the stalker from the rugby league.
Yeah.
The stalker to the stars. That's our Adrian Jackson, folks.
Anyway, that was that interview was on Easter Monday. We've got to mention, by the way, before we move on,
all right,
and yeah. we go back to the action in the Championship, because the big game in the Championship on Good Friday was the showdown between Widnes and Lee, wasn't it?
It was.
Going to hear from Kieran Purtle first. But before we move away from Super League for the Easter period, we've got to say farewell to Eddie Emmons, haven't we? Because he hung his mic up on Good Friday.
Eddie's been fantastic for our sport, hasn't he? He's given us some real moments to savour.
Yeah.
And his partnership with Steve-O on the microphone.
Legendary.
It was. You know, it's only when Steve-O's not been there you've realised how good that pairing was.
You appreciate it more when it's not there.
Definitely. And we're probably going to be doing the same, aren't we, over this next few weeks with regards to Eddie. I mean, he's been calling rugby league games for the last 30 years, hasn't
he?
That's a long, long time. I know they've done a couple of interviews with him. He's lived off that wide to West try,
yes.
Which wasn't even scored by West.
No.
It was scored by Chris Joint, wasn't it?
It was, but it was wide to West, wasn't it?
He's lived off that for all his commentary days, hasn't he, since he called that one? Was it about 2000, 2001?
Oh,
I think it was. It's a long time ago.
So, yeah, the Rugby League World said farewell to Eddie Emmons. But it's been a year of saying farewell to the big broadcasting giants, hasn't it? Because Ray, the voice of Rugby League for God knows how long, Ray French, said farewell as well.
There's a changing of the guard, isn't
changing
there?
Changing of the guard.
I mean, even you're getting some work, mate.
Nah, I don't like to push myself or self-promote.
Well, you should still say it. And I'm getting a little bit here and there.
Everyone's having a little go.
We're having a dabble.
Everyone's having a go.
I wouldn't say we're up to Eddie Emmons' standard yet. Or
the
Ray.
Legend Ray.
Yeah, yeah. Or even, I don't know. Who was before Ray?
Eddie Waring, wasn't
Eddie
it?
Waring, yeah. How could I forget Eddie Waring as well? He was the original man behind the mic, wasn't he?
Strange thing with Eddie Emmons. He started off in football.
He did, yeah, yeah. And he had a show, didn't he, on Radio Merseyside for years as well.
Yeah.
He actually admitted to being a housewife favourite for about 6 years on the radio was Liverpool. So, yeah, fair play to him, though. I mean, he's done a great service to our sport and he will be missed, won't he, behind the mic?
Yeah, a big spot to fill. I hope the guy who gets the job permanently lives up to the standards.
I wonder whether they're going to try a few or whether they've already got someone in mind to step up.
It's got to be Bill Arthur, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, that's the fair one, isn't it? That's the fair result because Bill Arthur's been there for years anyway, hasn't he?
He has. He certainly served his apprenticeship and he has been doing the Championship games as well, hasn't he? And he's also been doing Toulouse and Toronto games.
Yeah, he'll be pleased to move off the touchline, I think. It's going to be warmer for him, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. It's a bit sad now.
Farewell, Eddie. You've got to be missed, pal.
Anyway, back to the action. That's showbiz. Let's move on. Big game in the Championship. It was Widnes versus Lee. Widnes got the win. Let's hear from Kieran Pirtle.
Obviously, we're a few guys down at the moment from our squad, and we have a few guys out there who are busting and doing it tough for us. Not 100% fit, but I just thought our attitude today to turn up for each other was probably the difference. Straight from the first kickoff, the first defensive set, we made a real point and a purpose of being good and doing everything right, to the small details. And I thought overall that was probably the difference was our 1-17 were just a bit more clinical and probably just a bit more desire playing at home in front of our fans.
No matter how many walking wounded you've got, you seem to bring these lads through. Again, O'Neill, coming from the wilderness, if we can put it that way, from the press bench point of view. What an impact the lad had.
I was superb, weren't he? Absolutely fantastic. And it's coming like a bit of a normality, giving someone a debut every week for us at the moment. I think we're running out of shirts as a club. It's great for the future of the club. It's great for the hard work what's done on the juniors and the youth. And, Cal's been absolutely fantastic for the 19s. And he's basically made me pick him from his performances every single day. He's been training with us when he trains with the 19s. He's a fantastic kid. He trains really hard and his performances have been superb for the 19s, and he carried that on into the first team. And I think if someone had turned up today, they wouldn't have thought he was on debut. I thought he was fantastic.
Tell us a bit about him. What's his background? What is he?
He's just a guy, Widnes kid. He's been around the system for a couple of years. He's quiet. He's not brash or anything like that. You don't know he's around the place. He just turns up and he gets on with his job. And I'd imagine at certain points in his life, for a middle player, he's been told he's not big enough or he's not going to be this. But he's got one big heart, and that's all you need. He's got a big heart. He's got a great attitude. He loves playing for the club, and I'm chuffed for him and his parents today. To get a try as well on debut is absolutely brilliant.
That's what's coachable. You've got a lot of lads here which are of a similar ilk, really, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It's the easy thing. We've got. I talk a lot about our senior group. We have a really good group of senior players who invest a lot of time in our young players and help me out massively on a day-to-day basis. But underneath that, we've got this core of young players who've all come through the system. And I think when you've been at a club for 4 or 5 years, just that little bit more desire and hunger to play for that club and do things right, it just comes out. And, Cal's another fine example of that.
Is there a positive Vikings club, as in points tally? Will that have an impact? Is that already lifted? Is it better in the dressing room?
Yeah, obviously, to get off the bottom is a good achievement. We're still not where we need to be as a club or where we want to be. We were disappointed the other week in the battle of performance. And we said the easy bit for us was getting to zero, the hard bit's getting off zero. So we've got off zero now, and we have to try and keep momentum going. Obviously, the squad's a little bit threadbare at the moment. We've picked a couple of knocks up again today, and it's a quick turnaround, so it's not kind on clubs Easter, but we'll turn up on Monday and hopefully get another 2 points.
You got some good consistency from, I thought, your two halves, and also Jordan Johnston as well.
Yeah, JJ was fantastic. I think after about 20 minutes he was telling me he's tired and he wanted to come off, so to get through for a full 80 minutes there, play in the middle, and he relished his battle with Uddy. Him and Uddy were fantastic when they were here together. They were great mates, and JJ learned off Uddy a lot. And there was a great little battle out there today, and fortunately for us, JJ came out on top. But yeah, the spine's been really good for us, consistent. I think if you look at any successful team, the 1, 6, 7 and 9, if they get that consistency, then you get consistency in the team, and hopefully we're getting that way as well.
Just because showing rugby league, there's no mates on the field.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, he did completely outplay Liam Hood on the day. He did Jordan Johnston, and they were very, very good on that day, witness. It's just a shame that they couldn't back it up on the Monday.
No, and that was the case for a lot of the teams except Batley.
It was, yeah.
What a weekend they had.
Batley had a brilliant weekend. I mean, they beat Dewsbury in the heavy woolen derby on Good Friday, 20 points to 8. Backed it up with victory against Swinton. And what that has done, that's moved Batley up to 9th in the table. Doesn't sound like a massive difference, but when you consider that they'd only won 2 of the previous 9 matches, they've now won 2 on the spin. And, you know, they seem to be relishing what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, they had a big win against Widnes as well a few weeks ago.
They did,
well.
Yeah.
So, never backed up against Doncaster in the Cup, so that would have been disappointing for them. But, you know, last 3 games, they've knocked over Widnes.
Yeah.
You know, the heavy woolen derby, and then backed up on Easter Monday. So, in the league, they've slowly turned it round, haven't they?
Yeah, and as I say, it's giving them a little bit of an advantage, really, over the teams below them, which is all power to their elbow.
Now, John Duffy, after the league game, decided he weren't going to do any media talks. He just went
so
straight down the tunnel, on the coach, weren't speaking to anyone, probably went and broke a few Easter eggs when he got home as well on the kids.
He was so frustrated. Yeah, he was so frustrated by the
performance. Obviously, a lot more happier on Thursday, on Monday. And it's a Thursday.
Why are you saying Thursday?
I don't know.
Don't ask him to play on Thursday again after the discussion we had before.
No, not at all. Yeah. So, he was in a better mood, wasn't he, on Monday?
He got a lot more to say, so let's hear from him right now.
It was all about 2 points, always. It's on Easter Monday. I don't know when, you know, we're going to have a think and you know, get rid of these Easter games, because it kills the season after me. You know, we've lost 3 or 4 today. With real big injuries as well, so probably 2 or 3 need surgery. They're extra today. They've just gone straight for x-rays now. Greg with his cheekbone, Johnny Payne, all ACL, maybe, hopefully not too bad. Josh Woods, elbow. You know, it always happens around Easter. It's all about getting the 2 points today, and I think we've just got to deal with teams coming and trying to frustrate us a bit better. That's what teams are, you know, have been doing on us this season when they've come to league. So we've just got to deal with that a bit better. I'm really happy with the 2 points there today, because it's quite upsetting Friday's performance over at Widnes in a local derby. You know, I was really upset after the game. The boys were too, and you know, we had a good chat on Sunday morning and ironed a few things out. A good response today. I'm glad the fans turned up to see us, because they were absolutely brilliant at Widnes again. So we've just got to dust ourselves down now. We've got a couple of days off after that busy Easter to try and get some energy back, but it's a bit flat out there today. It always is on the Easter Monday. It was just about the 2 points, and I'm glad we got them.
You always say it's that third game that gets you, John, as well, don't they? Is that true from your experience?
Well, from the week before leading into, and then the weeks after, energy gets zapped across the board. I know it's the same for every team. I just think it's a bit silly playing 2 games as part-time athletes on 4 days. So. You've seen that today, because there have been injuries on both sides. You know, you can see in the change room there now, there's lads from both teams getting seen off the doctor. So, nobody is where it is, and I'm just glad we've got 2 points.
I thought you had some real honest performances today, front rowers especially.
Joe Cater, 80 minutes through the middle after Friday. You know, he's a fit lad and he's been great for us today. I had Mickey and Uddy at 6 and 7 at the end there. I don't think that's ever been seen. They've just took the mick out of me in there, but just glad we had players at the end of the game.
It is that third game at Dusher, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it is.
It's interesting hearing John there, because, I mean, he's obviously a little bit down himself there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because he's not too happy with what went on Friday. And then to get those 3 bad injuries, really, I mean, we don't know quite how Greg McNally, how long he's going to be out for, how long Josh Woods is going to be out for, and even just how bad Johnny Pownall was injured as well. And they've got a small squad of league. But having said that, they have got a couple of players that they haven't used yet this season, so it just makes me wonder whether they'll now get their chance.
Good, so you mentioned the fact they have got a small squad, but they have just signed James Leif. Wait.
They have, yeah. He played his first game.
It's an interesting signing.
Yeah, he's not played for a while. No. And he's had a real heap of injuries over the last couple of years, which I hope he can get beyond, because he was always a very highly rated youngster at Warrington, wasn't he?
He was. Unfortunately, he had that very bad leg break at St. Helens.
Oh, yeah.
And one player going through the walls injury-wise as well is Don Manfredi again.
I know.
Oh, what'd you do if you were him?
And what about Tom Davis? It seems if you're on the wing at Wigan this season, you've got an injury curse hanging over you.
If I'm training for Wigan this week and I get named by Adrian Lam on the wing, I'd be saying not playing.
I'm not going. I'm going inside.
Can you put me centre? Well, I'll even go prop.
Well, the
rather than centre wing at Wigan at the moment.
The fella it's created an opportunity for is Liam Marshall, who, again, he's another one of those guys that's had a couple of niggling injuries as well over the last 18 months. So, yeah, you wouldn't want to be a Wigan coach at the moment, would you?
Well, Sean Edwards doesn't.
Oh, no, he's definitely given back word now, hasn't he?
Definitely gone now, hasn't he? Yeah, so yeah. Is it going to be Adrian Lam?
I saw a rumour that they're actually looking for Tony Smith.
Is Tony going to give up his... a rather lucrative job at the FA up?
I would suggest not, because
he's in the comfort zone now.
When he left Warrington, he was very critical of the way that rugby league is going, and there's not been that many changes. Okay, we had the hashtag new beginnings, like our new jingle.
We've got a shot clock, we've got a new jingle. There you go, come back, Tony, everything's sorted.
And there's a load of referees' calls that have been suggesting now to change after the Easter weekend. So we saw a few daft areas, didn't we, with players falling over each other at the play of the ball and that type of stuff. And they further clarified it now at the RFL. So we're going to have a raft of penalties this coming weekend, I guess.
we're on penalty count again. Yeah, so John Duffy moaned about it.
Okay.
Part-time players, two games, it's ridiculous.
Pirtle moaned about it as well.
Kieran's a little pop, and tell you, the momentum's gathering against it. It's going to happen. One game over Easter.
Why? We've got rid of all of our traditions. Just change the game. Don't change the tradition.
Keeping you up to date with everything.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. Get it on.
No, I've had my say. I pressed the button by mistake.
I've had my say. But yeah, we've got to keep with the tradition, haven't we? Surely. Come on, Adrian. You've got to agree.
To an extent, I do.
He's only half biting.
To an extent, I do. On Good Friday, by the way, Hep Cahill, Mr. Widnes, as he's known as, around the town of Widnes. Despite all his injuries he's had, and whatever, wearing the black and white and putting his body on the line, he celebrated a win against Lee with his 150th appearance.
Really pleased to hear this, because, I mean, he has been through the wars, hasn't he?
Serious neck injuries, arm injuries, broke his hand in a pre-season friendly.
I mean, the injury list that he's had is stuff where it would have finished off lesser men, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and don't forget, he had a horrible introduction to the Super League when he came over with the Crusaders. And
was he involved in all their shenanigans when they went belly up?
Didn't they? So he ended up at Widnes, and he had a shocking introduction into Super League for the first couple of seasons with that one. Had they gone home ages ago?
It just shows how resilient he's been, isn't it? But we're going to hear from him right now as he reflected with our Adrian Jackson just about his 150th appearance.
Do you know, the original plan was to come over for a year and then get back home. But do you know, my family and I have settled in well and made some great friends here. And do you know, we've been happy to stay, hence why we're still here. Mm. The club's really stuck by me and, do you know, I'm just happy to give back a bit. You know, I couldn't be more prouder to lead the team out.
You're still your fans' favourite, and despite all your injuries, the effort you put out there as well.
Yeah, you know, it has been a rough ride, but you know, that's part of rugby. Some boys are fortunate enough, and some of us aren't so. But, you know, I'm just glad I've stuck it out and still chugging away slowly. But, you know, we're getting there, and, you know, it can only... The academy and that coming through is helping me pull through and... to play with them that I've seen when they were only like 10, 12 years old, and to play with them now, it's been awesome.
150 down, is there another 150 games left in the legs and the body?
Oh, in my mind, definitely. you know, if these we keep winning like that and the boys keep looking after me, I'm sure they will be.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Tell you what, you could ask that question to any former player.
Yes.
They could be the same age of Alex Murphy, who's 80.
80, yeah.
And he'll still say in my head, I can do that, I can play this game. Even now.
Very much so. I'm really pleased that we got to hear from Hep there. What a Trojan he's been. He's
been a great servant's witness. Hasn't
what he? A warrior. Just to rugby league as well. I mean, you know, as I say, it would have finished off less than mortal.
Oh, man, I'd have packed my bags and gone back home.
He's just been superb and continues to put in full effort every single game. So the Coral Challenge Cup is on the agenda. It's back.
Yes.
It's
back. What round are we up to?
We're up to round six.
All the Super League clubs are in.
That's it. And Adrian, you've got the draw.
The fixtures are out. Friday the 10th of May, Hull versus Castleford, Wakefield versus Widnes, Dewsbury versus Halifax. Saturday on the 11th, see Salford versus Hockey R, Bradford versus Leeds, Catalans versus Doncaster. And on the Sunday, Warrington take on Wigan, Huddersfield versus St Helens.
It's been a really good Easter period for St Helens. 98 points scored by them over the two games. They were brilliant against Wigan. They were simply unplayable against Hull. We're going to leave the last words of the show to none other than Justin Holbrook, who caught up with our man, Steve Manning.
Well, Justin, a great Easter, two from two.
Yeah, really, really happy with that. Obviously, you know, the win over Wigan was great on Friday, and to back it up yesterday against Hull was fantastic.
And you made some changes yesterday, and they seemed, or it appeared to me, to be flawless changes because the side just carried on playing how it's been playing all season.
Yeah, well, which is great. You know, we've got a good squad here and everyone's keen to play. So I think the boys that came in yesterday did a great job. And obviously, in particular, really pleased for Joe Batchelor. You know, he's worked really hard to get his first game with us and to play and play so well. Really happy for him. And also Adam Swift, you know, who's had a disrupted start to the year with injuries. Only had the one game at Lee and then we put him in and he got a hat-trick. So he's done well as well. So, yeah, really happy for those boys.
And down that right channel, it worked really well, didn't it? You know, the focus of the attack, obviously, 6-7 tries, it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, and that's a pleasing thing as a coach. Is sort of, we've got threats all over the field, and as you said, the right edge had a bit of a day out yesterday, which was great, with Kev getting 4 and Swifty 3. So, I thought that was fantastic. And obviously, you know, Johnny Lomax creating a lot of that stuff, so he's playing fantastic for us.
We always have injuries in games, and obviously those two victories came at a cost. Obviously Mark Percival in the first game, and Luke Thompson, as was leaving the ground, he got one of those boots on. So what's the situation in relation to those two players?
Yeah, well, Percy's hamstring, obviously, so he'll be probably at least a month. Louis was the same. You hurt his knee that game. And then Tomo will find out. He'll have scans later today, so he obviously won't play for the next couple of weeks, and hopefully it's not too bad.
But you always get the experts say it's not. It's not the two games, it's normally the third game where there's an effect. So are you mindful of that, or is it just a case of the experience you've had now with played over the Easter period, Justin?
Oh, no, I think you're probably right in saying it's the third game, because I think that, you know, the first game against Wigan, everyone's right, it's a normal week, and then you throw in another game a few days later and you ask them to get up, and then you're asking them again to go, you know, a few days later. So not easy, but you know, as I said, we're great staff and a great playing squad, so we'll be okay.
And it's a rare Sunday afternoon game for the fans to come to, and hopefully they'll respond. Hopefully the weather's warm, but I know the players won't want it as warm as it's been. But
yeah, look, I think the day games are great. You know, they're so good for everybody, you know, for families, and, you know, to bring their kids along and all that, where you can get home at a reasonable hour. So we don't have many of them, so we'll take advantage of them, and yeah, looking forward to Sunday afternoon rugby league.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
The Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.